We all know the legal world is complex and high-pressured. There's no room for error. That's why judges and attorneys across Chicagoland have trusted the expert court reporters at McCorkle Litigation Services since 1948. McCorkle Litigation Services has accurately recorded every word from thousands of legal proceedings. McCorkle Litigation Services provides the legal community with peace of mind, transcribing testimony and depositions that can be used reliably by jurors, judges, and attorneys. For all of your legal support needs, contact McCorkle Litigation Services online at McCorkleLitigation.com.
Welcome back to Legal Face-Off on WGN Radio. Time to talk some cannabis law. And to do so, we welcome in David S. Ruskin, a partner at HMB Legal Counsel, HMBLaw.com. I'm excited to talk cannabis, Rich. You know that.
You look like you've been excited to discuss it or do something else with cannabis this
I have
morning.
A red shirt and red eyes right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. No pressure, David. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Hi.
So you counsel various companies and entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry. And last month, Governor Pritzker signed the Illinois Cannabis Bill into law, making Illinois the 11th state in the country to legalize the recreational use and purchase of marijuana. Can you walk us through the law, which takes effect on January 1st?
Well, I could walk you through the law. It's 600 plus pages, so longer than the Mueller report. We're going to be here a while.
Wow.
But I can give you some highlights.
Well, like highlights. Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
So starting January 1st, adults who are 21 years and over will be allowed to purchase and possess and consume marijuana without having a medical card, medical authorization, which was... up until January 1st, for the last, since January of 2014, we've had the compassionate use of medical cannabis. So so starting January 1st, 2020, it will be adult use. And in addition to that, Illinois has come up with some new licenses that will be allowed. So in addition to dispensaries that are selling cannabis, cultivation licenses that grow the cannabis, Illinois has now come up with a new craft grower license, kind of to suit the smaller growers, kind of like the craft brewers.
Okay.
So there's a also a infuser license. So if you want to actually take cannabis and put it into products, you're going to need an infuser license. There's a transporter license for transporting cannabis from cultivation facilities to dispensaries. So there's a bunch of different licenses that weren't around before.
Okay.
Let's talk about that for a second, David, because you, you know, in addition to being an attorney, you actually counsel businesses on how to deal with cannabis-related businesses. You wrote an article in Practical Law about this, which was very interesting. I was reading about this convention downstate recently where prospective owners were meeting to learn how to get into this business. Obviously, there's a lot of people who want to get in on the green rush, as they're calling it.
Sure.
Some liken it to prospecting back in the late 19th century. How difficult is the state going to make it to get a license to sell or be involved in the cannabis industry?
Well, listen, if you held a medical license, or you currently hold a medical license, it's not going to be difficult at all. You're going to be allowed essentially first dibs at the new adult use license. And then following that, Illinois will be coming out with applications for new businesses, folks that want to get into the new businesses, which will be coming out. Applications will be approved for dispensing, selling, and growing next year in 2020, mid-2020 to the end of 2020. And then, you know, it's kind of like let's see what happens, what the supply and the demand is like, and before we determine, the state determines whether or not more licenses are going to come available in 2021. There's options to kind of tweak that so that there could be more or less. Illinois did something that they've been working on for a long time, which is for this new law, which is a social equity component, which is going to allow people who have been impacted through the war on drugs over the years to get easier access to capital, easier access to get these licenses. It's certainly by no means going to be easy, and there's going to be a lot of competition. But the fact that Illinois has now incorporated the social equity component is tremendous. It's great. And it took a long time. I know Illinois wanted to be, as the 11th state that has adult use, they wanted to be kind of the gold standard for going forward for other states that are looking at this, this social equity component. And so they've done a good job. And essentially, if an owner of a business has more than 51% ownership or more than 51% of their employees are from disproportionately impacted areas around the state, then they're going to get extra points on their application.
So a quick question about people who were formerly, you know, who have criminal records as a result of either purchasing or possessing 30 grams or less of marijuana. Apparently, there are at least 800,000 people in the state of Illinois that fall in that bucket. And one of the aspects of the new law that's been getting a lot of airplay is the fact that it looks like those criminal records are going to be expunged. Is that right?
Right. I mean, that's another big part of the social equity component is essentially what's being called an automatic expungement for, I think the number is around 750,000 or mm-hmm. so for those who have been arrested or convicted for that marijuana offense.
Do you think that's the right result, given that it was illegal at the time that those arrests came down?
Yeah, I do. I know Illinois is being careful about not also including situations that included different offenses at the same time. So, you know, if you had a firearm or something else at the same time, that's not automatically expunged.
Okay.
But I think, sure, if, look, we could talk about this, you know, a lot, but depending on how you feel about the illegality of cannabis itself, the fact remains in Illinois, starting January 1st, it's essentially going to be a legal. It's going to be legal. So the fact that these arrests were for cannabis possession, now that it's legal, it makes sense to expunge those. And, you know, frankly, a lot of those arrests and convictions really were minor, and certainly the offense that the arrests were based on really probably never should have happened in the first place, mm-hmm. but they did, and now this is an opportunity for us to make good on that.
Another really popular question, David, is where can I buy, right? And I don't know if you know these exact answers, but I've been privy to some information. Rocket Bar and Grill is on Hubbard Street here in River North. Rocket has been bought out by a dispensary. They sold the building and the business is closed because guess what? A dispensary will be on Hubbard Street soon. I don't know if you knew that or not, but do you have any idea where these dispensaries could be, where we could go, where people could go to buy marijuana?
Sam means like now.
Right.
Not starting January 1st. He wants
to
know.
He has this rabid look on his eyes.
We can talk about that afterwards, but starting January 1st, first of all, any of the current medical dispensaries are going to be allowed to sell adult use as well at that location. So that's, you can tell right now where those 55 locations are. And then on top of that, Illinois is going to spread them out based on population. So my recollection is the Chicagoland area will have 47. I think that's been decided right now in the law, 47 dispensary licenses. And then spread out around the state depending on the population. I've heard about the Rocket bar and what's going on. Ultimately, it's up to the Department of Professional Financial Responsibility, IDFPR, that governs that. So we'll see if they approve it.
David, you work with lots of companies, privately held companies, startups, in developing business plans and all of the issues that go in with starting a business. How does starting a cannabis-related business differ from a traditional company that you work with, if any? Give us a couple of highlights of how they differ, maybe.
Yeah, there's some real significant differences. Because of the illegality at the federal level, we've got this tension between state and federal law. And so businesses need to be cognizant of that. One issue that comes up all the time is banking. right? The traditional, whether it's getting a depository account at a bank, which you can't do typically with a cannabis business, getting a traditional loan or getting capital to start that business and keep the business running is much more difficult with cannabis-related businesses. So that's the primary issue.
So how do you do it? How do you get? I mean, how do you get a loan?
Cash.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there are non-traditional lenders that are out there, but it's hard. It's certainly a lot harder than the typical startup or the business in other industries. And it's really the only industry like that.
Sounds like the feds are going to overturn it, make it legal at some point, given the wave, the green wave, some would say, across the country in legalization of marijuana. Seems logical the federal government would declassify it at some point.
We are moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think probably what we'll see first is, before a complete descheduling, probably something along the lines of the States Act. There's a couple bills that are in play right now, States Act, the SAFE Act, that'll allow, if a particular state is legal, then that'll be, you'll be okay in that particular state.
All right, that's David S. Ruskin, partner at HMB Legal Counsel, hmblaw.com, to learn more. David, thanks for stopping in. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.